Cornerstone. Happy New Year to everyone here. Just in case you don't know me, I'm Michael Roos, and I'm one of the MPS apprentices here. It is my pleasure to bring you God's Word this Lord's Day, as Cam will be preaching at St. John's. Today we start a little mini-series, which will be going over the next 3 weeks, looking at the topic of inspiration, how God's Word is inspired. Today we'll be looking and focusing on 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Before we get into today's passage, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you are the author of your word, the Bible. Lord, we just pray that you would teach us more and more from your word. And Lord, teach us today, we pray, from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Christian life is hard, isn't it? It's hard to remember the faith and the joy we had when we first learned that Jesus saved us, that he promised us eternal life, and that he made us clean and spotless before the Father, that Jesus paid the price for our sins. Sometimes it's hard to remember the fire that we once had with Jesus, the desire to serve him with everything we had, to live out the call, to live out the holy life, because Jesus had saved us. It's hard to remember that, isn't it? It almost feels like it was a different me, a different you, that experienced that moment Jesus changed us. Why does the Christian life become hard? One explanation is that we have a lot of opposition. Our society is directly and indirectly making the Christian life shameful. That to be a Christian, you are no longer part of the us group. You are part of the them group. You are part of the faith-based group which is behind the times, which are out of touch with our culture. Friends and family telling us that we are on the wrong side of history. Perhaps you've been told we should be having sexual relationships outside of marriage. Fabricating taxes is normal. Everyone has made private purchases and claimed it as a business expense. Being told not to force religion down our children's throats, they should be allowed to make the decision for themselves. We are on the wrong side of history, being told that we should be for same-sex marriage. If two people love each other, who are we, Christians, to try and stop that? If a woman wants to get an abortion, why do we have to interfere? It's her body. As Christians, we are considered to be behind the times. We are told to stop judging. We are called intolerant. We are called bigoted. We are told that we are incapable of understanding. The Christian life is hard. Dollars check all around us. People think that the Christian faith is wrong. That the Christian God is a God of love and nothing more. Others deny that Christianity is even truth, claiming that the Prophet Muhammad of Islam was the fulfillment of God's word. Or the Prophet Bahá'u'lláh of the Baha'i faith was actually the second coming of Christ. Well, others will say, all paths lead to heaven. You just need to lead a good life. The Christian life is hard. There are times, aren't there, when we think it would be a whole lot easier if we just gave up. We wonder, is this Christian life even worth it? We get discouraged. We get down. We think to ourselves, the race is too hard. I can't keep going. The opposition is just too powerful. I'm not strong enough. Cornerstone. Around 2,000 years ago, the hardships that you and I face today were also, at one time or another, experienced by Paul and Timothy in Ephesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul even describes his time in Ephesus like fighting wild beasts. The pastoral letter from Paul to Timothy was sent to encourage Timothy despite the opposition around him. For Timothy to stay faithful to the Christian life. Brothers and sisters, if you are experiencing the difficulties and the hardships of the Christian life, listen carefully to the encouragement Paul gives to Timothy. Listen to the words of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How does Paul encourage Timothy? Paul encourages Timothy by reminding him that the word of God is breathed out by God. That the word of God is powerful. The word of God has power to cause change. To change the world. Life. You. Me. The word of God is powerful. The overarching point of today's sermon is God's word is powerful. To explore this overarching point, we will look at the following three points. So our first point, God's word is powerful. Our second point, God's word encourages us. And our third point, God's word directs us. So our first point, God's word is powerful. In our passage today, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. This description, God-breathed, does not occur anywhere else in the Bible. What does God-breathed mean? God-breathed is referring to the divine origin of scripture. That it comes from God, and it is not something made up by human authors. Human authors were powerfully guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. God's word is breathed out by Him. That the Bibles that you have before you, that are in your hands, are God's spoken word. Breathed out by Him. But how does scripture being God-breathed make God's word powerful? God's word has the power to change everything. God speaks and it happens. When we open up the beginning of the Bible, we see the power of God's words. We see God creating everything. How did God do this? By speaking. God spoke and the world was created. God spoke and life appeared. God spoke and man was born. God spoke and things happened. If we flick over a bit further along in Genesis 17, we find God speaking with Abraham and directing Abraham of what was to come. That Abraham was to be a father of a great nation. Kings would be born from him. Nations would be made from him. From one man, great things were going to happen. And if we look throughout the Bible, we see that it did happen. God spoke, and it happened. God's word is powerful. If we also look at the New Testament, we can see examples of this also. Jesus would speak, and things would happen. In Mark 4, during a powerful storm, Jesus says, quiet, be still. And the wind died down and everything became calm. Or in Luke 7, a centurion had sent Jewish elders to Jesus asking for healing for the centurion's servant. And Jesus, who says just the word, heals the servant. God speaks and things happen. The earth is created. Promises are made and fulfilled. The forces of nature obey. Just with a word, terrible diseases are cured. God's word is powerful. God's word makes things change. Yes, we may agree with this and say that this is true. But some of you may ask, how has God's word been powerful in my life? Well, the word of God changed you. Didn't the power of God's word powerfully work in your life? God made you alive through his word. God's word created everything. It sustains and controls everything. God's word has the power to create change. God's word has changed you. It's changed me. God's word is powerful. When you and I are dealing with the hardships which the Christian life brings, that when we consider that the opposition is too powerful and that we no longer have the strength, remember God's breathed out word is powerful. That when we are experiencing hardships and that the race is too tough, remember God's word is powerful. It has the power to create, sustain, and change everything. God's word will help us. God's word is powerful. But we may ask, how does knowing God's word is powerful help us in our Christian walk? Yes, we may agree that Christ saved us, but what is Christ doing for us now? How is he helping us with the hardships, the opposition that we are experiencing around us? Come now to our second point. God's word encourages us. The Christian life is hard. Life is hard. Sometimes we find ourselves asking, I wish life were easier. I wish there was a manual on how to do life well. Maybe we'll look for the next self-help book that will answer all our problems. Self-help books have been considered to be around as long as writing itself. Self-help books include a multiple of topics and some interesting names to go with them. Have a listen to three of Amazon's top 10 self-help books. Number one, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, Powerful Lessons in Personal Change. Number two, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Three, Eat That Frog. 21 Great Ways to Stop Procrastinating and Get More Done in Less Time. A multiple of topics and some interesting names to go with them. There are so many out there. A self-help book for any circumstance, any problem, any worry. When we find life hard, we scream out for an answer to our problems. And we wish that life were easier. Well, I have good news. God's word has answer. God's word has the power not to only deal with the hardships that the life brings, but it's the manual on how to do life well. But how? How is God's word helping you? How is it helping me? How is it helping us to deal with the hardships of life? Let's come back to our passage. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful. How is God's word helping us? First, we have to know that God's breathed out word, his inspired word, is useful. Some translations say profitable. God's word is a perfect manual of a good and happy life. God's word leads us to a good and happy life by teaching us, rebuking us, correcting us, and training us in righteousness. Let's have a look at what teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness mean. First, the inspired word of God teaches us. We have to learn from the Bible. Allow God's word to teach us. Teach us about God. Teach us about who we are. Teach us about what Christ has done for us. And teach us how we are to respond to how Christ saved us. How are we going with that? When we read God's Word, or hear God's Word preached on Sunday, are we growing in the instruction God has given us? Number two, the inspired Word of God rebukes us. God's Word tells us that we have sinned and need to reconcile ourselves to God. It's never a nice experience being rebuked, being told that you have sinned, that you haven't been Christ-like. A couple of years ago, I remember a friend rebuking me and revealing to me one of my many flaws. I was, and to a degree, still am, a very justice-driven kind of person. That there's right and there's wrong. And when wrong is committed, compensation must be given. A few years back, this friend of mine had wronged me, and I demanded compensation. We sat down. He admitted to doing wrong. And then he appealed to me as a Christian brother and asked for grace, undeserved forgiveness. He couldn't right the wrong, but he asked, will I be like Christ to him? He was asking me to demonstrate Christ-like behavior. The Bible does that to us, doesn't it? It continually rebukes us and tells us that we have sinned, that we have failed to demonstrate a Christ-like behavior. When the Bible rebukes us, how do we respond? Are we seeing our sin? Are we repenting? Are we reconciling ourselves to God? Number three. The inspired Word of God corrects us. When my friend asked for grace, I had to reform my behavior. I had to correct my behavior and be Christ-like. The Bible is correcting us and instructing us to be Christ-like. It has taught us what Christ has done for us and is instructing us to do likewise. Brothers and sisters, are we allowing God's Word to change us? Or are we remaining unchanged? Four. The inspired Word of God trains us in righteousness. We need to allow God's Word to instruct us to be righteous. That to be righteous, we would strive to reach a state of being acceptable to God in every way. In response to what Christ has done for us. How are we going with this? Cornerstone, we need to let the powerful Word of God make us into instruments of righteousness. When we live according to God's Word, He gives us the manual on how we should live. The manual on how to do things properly. How to do life better. God created us. He has the perfect blueprints on how life should be, how to do life well. How to do marriage properly? Read Ephesians 5. How to raise your children well? Open up Deuteronomy 6. How to be a good child? Open up to, think about Exodus 20. How to be a good friend? Study Luke 10. How to deal with worries? Look at Matthew 6. How to fight sexual temptation? Consider 1 Corinthians 6. How should we see taxes? Read Romans 13. The Bible has so much guidance. The Bible has so much wisdom. Will you not allow it to teach you? Will you not allow it to rebuke you? Will you not allow it to correct you? Will you not allow it to transform you into an instrument of righteousness? The Bible is the greatest self-help book. God's powerful Word helps us. God's powerful Word has answers. It can encourage us to not only deal with the hardships that the Christian life brings, but it will also help us to thrive. when we allow ourselves to be living a life that ultimately leads to righteousness, allowing God's word to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, we will thrive. Brothers and sisters, when you have worries, problems, concerns, finding that the race is too tough, the opposition is too powerful, feel that you don't have the strength, come to God's powerful word and be encouraged by it. Be transformed by it. God's word is powerful and it will encourage us and help us to thrive. But God's word will also direct us. Our third point for today. God's word directs us. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Our Lord Jesus has left us with a task. We are to live out Christian life, being used as instruments of righteousness, to be equipped for every good work. What are these works? What are we meant to be doing? What good work has Jesus given us to do? We are all at different stages of life. Some of us are young. Some of us are young at heart. Some of us are still at school. Others are working. And others have said goodbye to the workforce. Some of us are married. Some of us are single. We are all at different stages of life. But we have all been called to do good works. We've all been called to build up the kingdom of God and to be Christ-like. In your stage of life, how are you using the power of God's word to deal with the opposition that your Christian life faces? In your stage of life, are you building up the kingdom of God? How are you being like Christ to those around you? Many here are thinking, that calling is too much. I'm not fit to be building up the kingdom and being like Christ. That's just too hard. The preacher doesn't understand the situation I'm in. I'm not good enough. I'm not capable enough. I'm not strong enough. Brothers and sisters, remember, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we are living for the truth of God's word, we will be living a life which leads to righteousness. That the man of God, meaning all of us, all believers, will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The English Standard Version puts it this way, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The inspired word of God has prepared us to continue the work that Christ has started. All we need is the inspired word of God. And the best news is, Christ hasn't left us without help. The Holy Spirit, which the Father has sent in Christ's name, is guiding us, teaching us, and instructing us, illuminating the word of God to us and revealing to us God through his powerful word, so that we can continue the work that Christ started. God's word is directing us to continue Christ's work. It equips us for every good work that we may unashamedly continue to build up the kingdom of God. God has directed us to deal with the godless chatter. God has directed us to teach, rebuke, and correct those around us, and also for us to be rebuked and corrected. God has directed us to confidently finish the race which he has placed us on. God's word is powerful, and we are able to deal with the hardships, that the Christian life brings. We can confidently deal with the opposition around us. So what now? How do we be encouraged by God's word? Brothers and sisters, three things that may help us to be encouraged by God's word. First, read God's word. Second, live God's word. And third, share God's word. First, read God's word. A simple suggestion, I know. But I ask you, how often do you find yourself reading God's word? When we are feeling tired or feeling low in our Christian walk, don't we have a tendency to neglect our own personal devotions? Brothers and sisters, it's a new year, 2016. Make it your habit this year to read the Bible. My Bible has 695 pages. I know if I read 2 pages a day, I will get through the Bible within a year. What's your Bible reading plan? Do you have one? Find a Bible reading plan that works for you. Second, live God's word. Live for Christ. God's word. Allow God's word to transform your life. Allow God's word to teach you, to rebuke you, to correct you, to train you in righteousness, to live according to God's word. Are we allowing God's word to transform us into instruments of righteousness? Third, share God's word. Brothers and sisters, we have been given the good news. Remember when you first accepted Christ into your life and the joy you had? The desire to serve Him with everything you had? Do you remember that? Share God's word. Share the joy that Christ has come to save. If you find encouragement in God's word and know that God's word is powerful and life-changing, we should be desiring that all would get the same opportunity we had. The Bible is God-breathed and is powerful. Read God's word. Share God's word. Live God's word. The Christian life can be hard. However, we know that God has given us a great gift. He has given us His powerful word. God's word is enough to deal with the hardships that the Christian life brings. Brothers and sisters, will you hold on to the knowledge that God's word is powerful, that it is breathed out by Him? Will you hold on to the knowledge that God's word can encourage us with the manual to life? Will you hold on to the knowledge that God's word has given us everything we need to continue the work that Christ has started? That God's word has prepared us fully to do this work. Brothers and sisters, will you continue to remind yourself that God's word is powerful and be encouraged by it? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for us, that He saved us, that He died for our sins so that we may be alive in Him. Lord, help us now to live for you. Help us to live as instruments of righteousness. Help us to continue the work which Christ has started. Father, help us to be encouraged by your word and know that your word will help us to deal with all the hardships that the Christian life brings. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.